the year, the feast slash fast activities during the year, the different scriptures are read at different times. And it struck me that because of being in this period of the Fast of Tammuz, that I don't think it's an accident that Psalm 119 is between the Hallel and the Psalms of Ascent. And I don't know that we have ever really studied Psalm 119. And so I'd like us to read it tonight and then talk about it during the course of this, the 21 days between the straits. Have we ever studied Psalm 119?
It's too long.
Well, it intimidates everybody. That's why. You remember that it's separated into 22 sections, one for each letter of the alphabet, and it's each letter of the alphabet is assigned 8 verses. And there's a million different reasons for it, why the rabbis say that it, but my understanding of it is that each section, each letter of the alphabet leads to the resurrection. But remember 8, 6 is the number of man, 666 is the number of man trying to be good, 7 is the rest, and 8 is the resurrection. You can't get from 6 to 8, that's what everybody wants to do. But there has to be a period of rest. Paul has been going through some things, and so I've begged her not to make any decisions unless she can go through 48 hours of being at rest in 7 before the resurrection is appearing. But let's read 119, and this is one of those instances where you're encouraged to expand on the tale if you see something. I haven't really studied in depth, so fundamentally we're cold reading it, okay? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Based on talks I've had with a whole lot of different people in the last week or two, there's mass confusion in the body of what two things mean. One is what the word obey means in the scripture, and the other is what the word submission means, being submitted one to another. The word keep here is the word obey. And you all know what I'm going to say about the meaning of the word. But for some reason, this idea of being in submission is one to another is a real lacking. It's relatively easy, it seems, for the people, like whether it's the kids or the various members that become rebellious. It's easy for them to be in submission to me for some reason. Because primarily they think of me as some kind of spiritual star or spiritual know-it-all or something. But it's not easy for them, because they've missed the meaning of submission, to be in submission to one to another. If I am only in submission to those people that I look up to by some means, then for my personality, I can't be submitted to anybody. I mean, that leaves me without hope, because I know myself well enough to know that if I can't find some place to be in submission, I'm in deep, deep spiritual trouble. And there's a whole lot of people that think they can only be in submission to those that they respect for some reason. And because of that, I think that we have sloth rampant in the body. But what has to happen is people have to see that if the scriptures say that if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar, so the scriptures imply and say spiritually that if you say you are submitted to God and not submitted to your brother, you're a liar. All you are is a self-willed idiot with the name of God on your idiocy. And so somehow we've got to get the message across that the act of being in submission has nothing to do with the talents of the one that you're in submission to. Does everybody understand that a little bit? Doesn't matter if the person that you're in submission to makes mistakes. That's not your business. Doesn't matter if the person you're in submission to doesn't know the scriptures, according to you. That's not your business. Doesn't matter if the person you're in submission to isn't a good teacher, according to you. That's not your business. This is the issue that I was dealing with John. But it was just the tip of the iceberg for what's going on all over. We have Steve sitting in silent judgment of the Bible studies, because he's not in submission to anybody. Except if I call him, then he's in submission to me. Which makes me furious. It's not up to you or to the members of the... it's not up to you to decide who you're going to be in submission to. Then you're just a hunk of flesh that's doing just what Gentiles do. In submission to somebody you respect, or somebody in authority, or somebody controls your paycheck.
For his benefit.
What?
For his benefit.
So somehow we've got to get, when the captains of 10 were selected by God or by Moses, and when they went to the wilderness and they proceeded on up, you can bet that the captains of 10 didn't know anything. They just came out of the world. But because of that structure, there was submission one to another. If you can't submit one to another, the word obedience cannot be in your vocabulary. You can't keep the statutes of God. You can only be a self-willed idiot with the name of God on your idiocy, saying, well, I'm submitted to God and I'm out. No, I'm not submitted to any man. I'm only submitted to God. So when it says here, I meant to get more than three verses before, or one verse. I got one and a half.
It'll take us more than 21 days to be here.
I was, I
3 years.
You know, when we talked about that submission idea, you know, you said that obeying or being submitted means, most people think it's following the rules, or, you know, hearing and doing what other people say and all that kind of stuff, but it's the idea of pouring out, of yeshing, of being there, of being in the moment, you know. That's instead of this, you know, drawing back and, you know, judging and whatever.
Right. Yeah, the submission isn't the world's definition, which means yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. That's not submission. That's because that's internal rebellion. Do you understand that some of you want that kind of submission? Life is easier if you're a teacher, if you have that kind of submission. Of course, you get really bored in a little while, but submission is the place, if you're submitted one to another, it's the place that you hold back nothing. You prophesy. Yes, you do all those things. And that's the place of submission. Well, I can't do that. I don't respect it. Well, then you've missed the idea. Then you're just a Gentile. You don't believe in God.
I remember that time that the old Jack, what's his name? Jack Martin.
The homeless guy?
The guy that walked into the office.
Oh, Jack Martin, yeah.
And you saw Christ in him. And in effect, you were submitting yourself to him just by your reaction to that moment, you know. And that's really what this is all about, is seeing Christ. If you can see Christ, then it's like, hey, it's easy to submit to Christ. There he is.
Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Now we got, what do we have here? We got keep testimonies. We got...
Do no iniquity.
What?
Do no iniquity.
No, I'm talking about way, precepts. Testimony, precepts, commands,
statutes.
Oh. And law, judges. Or Torah.
Judges.
Everybody remember what statutes are? Right. Anything that's called a statute in the scriptures, it's impossible for the best of men to do. If you're called to keep his statutes, and what can that mean? Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Last night in Bananas, we studied Daniel 9 and 10 because it was part of the readings. And when Daniel started his prayers, it says that it was his prayers and his supplications. And his what? Remember? Who's here in Bananas? You don't remember, do you? I love Bananas.
So his prayers and supplications.
I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Prayer, you know a little bit about. Supplication, your head's in the lion's mouth. Fasting, so that you see the weakness of the flesh. Stop the act. Sackcloth, you accept the death of the sacrifice, because the sackcloth is made from the skin and the hair of the animal that was sacrificed. And ashes, meaning you agree that you have no more rights other than to be burned. Every great move of God that has ever happened among a people happened when these conditions were met. Happened, especially supplication. When they reached a point, when God had so put them through the ringers, that their only hope was supplication, was saying, Father, do with me as you will. What happens to me is unimportant. That is the moment of perfect emptiness. That is the moment of perfect weakness. That is the moment of supplication. Somebody read next. Read Beth.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Amen.
Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live, keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counsel.
Verse 18 should be our constant prayer. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy Torah. The idea that the fullness of the mystery of God is revealed more so in the book of Leviticus than any other book is just awesome to me. Maybe you don't believe that, but I do. That all of the incredible riches that are revealed in the different aspects of the offerings that reveal who he is. There's not a situation that you can confront them in which it isn't met by him in your apprehension of the offerings. The idea that the mystery of the blood, the mystery of the water, and the mystery of the spirit is all contained in that offering, all in Leviticus. The idea that, don't you want to apprehend more about the blood of Christ other than that your sin is forgiven? Don't you want to make that real in your life? Don't you want to make it real to know that you have 24 hours a day access to the holy place, to the throne of God by the blood? Don't you want to know what the burnt offering means and live it? Don't you want to know what the peace offering is and have it be your only sustenance? We know all these things. But I promise you, you won't know them until you teach them. They won't become meat to you until you have taught them. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Okay.
My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so that so shall I talk of thy wondrous words. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto the servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I long after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness.
Can you understand, can you hear this is the prayer of your heart.
Yeah.
Not the prayer of your mind.
Yeah.
We're going to see in a minute that he talks about how he thanks the Lord for all the hassles that he's been through.
Yes, like the struggle that every human being goes through to make sense out of stuff and comes up with a belief system and comes up with a worldview and all that. It's like that's a perversion of the real thing. This, I guess, is in all men, which is I want to know. Please show me. I want to know how it works, why it works, what it is you want, and give me the strength to do it. I think it just seems like everybody wants that, but somehow
gets religious.
Gets religious in a really broad sense of what it means.
Just pray and let me figure it out, oh Lord.
There's a, and we studied a lot in Bananas last night. We studied Revelation 13, first beast, and there's another beast comes up, and he has horns like a lamb. And the first beast is you in Egypt. And the second beast is you in Babylon. And God's got to get rid of us. He's got to get rid of our Egyptian ways and our Babylonian garment. Until we come to the point where we're in total and complete supplication. Some of us had a very wondrous Babylonian garment when we came here. In fact, it was so wondrous that it was intertwined in with our skin.
Tattooed and worn that garment a little too long.
Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep the law continually forever and ever, and I will walk it with you, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes.
I'll stay on the one that reproaches me is always your mind. The reproachers.
Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word comforts me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I have because I kept thy precepts.
The thing strikes me, we've talked about the covenant where, that God is obligated to treat you as his own flesh, in that covenant. And it's like that's part of the law too that he's contemplating here is that God is bound by that. I mean, it's like, if you look after your mind, you can see nothing. If you look at yourself, you just see nothing but iniquity and no reason why God would ever have anything to do with you.
Yeah.
But if it's like that's part of that picture is in the covenant.
Yeah, I think that horror is always the only time I think I'm right. The only time that the word horror is used is the horror of great darkness.
I keep going back to verse 9. I keep thinking about. I just was washing dishes with Justin, and we were talking, and it amazed me that he's been here like 5 years or something. And I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I would guess somewhere around 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, something like that. I remember, you know, seeing the book, you know, that had the gold on the edge of the pages and all that. And it was like, you know, I knew that it was something really important and something really special, and I wanted to know what was in it. And nobody knew. I mean, nobody knew. There was nobody in who knew. Or they said that they cared. They said, oh, it's really important, but nobody knew. I was just thinking about, well, how fortunate I am now, but also, you know, these the kids.
Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart.
All right, let's go back to that one. I think, I haven't done the word study yet, but I'm sure that it says this, is that it says that thou alone art my portion. And the idea that, I mean, I know in here tonight, there's one or more of you who are upset because either somebody's been eating your flesh or you've been eating somebody else's flesh, and somebody, you've given somebody else the right to control your happiness. You've given somebody else the right to control your peace. And so you're out of the peace, you're out of the rest, because and you think you have a real sincere reason for it. It's the only reason that it is because you've been having somebody else or something else as your portion. Christ himself hasn't been your sustenance. And so the way out isn't the way out. And we've gone too far. The way out has to be public confession. We've gone too far for, because what you do secretly affects everybody publicly. And we've got to become so attuned to the way of the Spirit that we feel, we know, we understand when somebody's doing that, so it can be exhorted, so that we not exhort them in judgment, but exhort them in love. We all have sufficient experience, time after time after time after time, to know that he always is faithful, and that it's never anybody else's fault. It's never anybody else's problem. It's always because you have gained your sustenance from somebody else. Your portion has been something else other than the Lord is your only portion. You got to hear that. And you can't permit it in the Bible studies. You cannot, you have to have the zeal to exhort and to push it to the end, not to let anybody stay in sloth. Amen? Chef.
Portion is like a food portion.
Yeah.
Like your sustenance.
Your sustenance.
Thou art my portion, O Lord. I said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies.
What he's saying there. I thought about myself and I ran back to you.
Yeah.
I asked God to let me see me as he sees me, and I pray you.
I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have rotten, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all of them that fear thee.
Again, it says, I am only a companion of those, all those that fear thee.
You know, this hit me here about that, you know, it's
we know what it means to keep his ways, because we know that we know it. We know that it's repentance, and we know that when repentance is there, it's as if we had done everything, you know, instead of getting off on little behavioral, you know, deals.
Remember the statement of the Talmud? It says, he that doeth repentance, it's imputed unto him as if he personally went up to Jerusalem, built every stone in the temple, wrought all of the silver and gold, and completed all the sacrifices in the law. Because he that doeth repentance sees Jesus.
How come he gets up at midnight?
Huh?
What's the idea of getting up at midnight?
It came to pass at midnight.
Well, what's the season about midnight?
The darkest.
The darkest hour.
Yeah, that's. Think about it. It's like.
It's midnight of your soul.
It's the midnight whenever you feel like it's the darkest.
It's the farthest from the light. After midnight, it's morning. It starts to get light. Also, if you look at the cross.
We just studied the Southern Cross. At midnight, it's upright. And as it goes either before midnight or after midnight, it tips one way or another. So the ancient mariners could tell exactly the time it was by looking at the Southern Cross and the waters. It's pretty awesome when you think that's the only. The last time you could see that, the Southern Cross in the Northern Hemisphere was at crucifixion of Christ. Now it's dipped below the horizon. You can only see it in the Southern Hemisphere. I remember the first time I saw it, it was like, even, I mean, I was as much of an atheist as you could be, but I saw that thing and it just took my breath away, because it's the only constellation that looks like what it is in the whole sky.
Now, I know you're going to laugh at me, but it's not upside down in the Southern Hemisphere, is I know how stupid it is.
Well, it's, yeah, but it's upside down. But so are you, because you're upside down.
Do you feel like
down.
You're upside down?
Yeah,
because your blood rush.
See, it depends on what time of night. It could be.
What a world weather! If you were bald people in the Southern Hemisphere.
You know that. Did you drive into that clear? I mean, you know, all other things that you're saying are done in a parable, but that was the obvious thing that God did. I mean, when he crucified him, he put him to an open shame. He did it for, you know, without, it wasn't even a parable at that point. It was open. And that he should reveal it like that.
Yeah, of all of the billions and billions and billions of stars. And all of the particular animals that are set up and divined by the constellations. The only decan, or the only constellation that looks like its name, is the cross.
Yeah, it's all the rest of understanding. I mean,
they all tell a picture of the cross. They all tell a story of the cross.
And you said the cross disappeared after the cross.
Oh, it went below the horizon of the south. It's no longer visible in the northern hemisphere.
Because everything
meets the type in the scriptures. Everything from the north is always evil. From the south, it's always towards the mystery. To the rising sun is always toward the evil. To the west, to the setting sun, it's always towards the mystery. I want to show you something. Go to Isaiah 13. Keep your hand in up. 119. Chapter 13, Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. It's not light of light, it's light of revelation. So we've lost that mystery. Now we look up and they just say, oh, aren't the stars pretty tonight? The ancients looked up and they saw Jesus. But the heavens no longer, and the constellations no longer give their light. Psalm 119. Now we're on Teth.
Thou hast dealt well with thy
servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep thy word. I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law.
Pig grease.
Pig grease. It is good for me that I have been afflicted.
That's the same. Why don't you read that again?
It is good for you that you have been afflicted.
Why don't you read that again?
It is good for us that we have been afflicted.
Why don't you read that again?
It is good for me also that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than 10,000 gold and silver.
Amen.
You know that we mentioned the thing about the two paths. One is briars at the beginning and easy at the end. One is easy in the beginning with briars at the end. It's like having come through the affliction, the psalmist can say, it's good for me.
Amen.
Thy hands have made me and fashioned me, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word.
Think about that a minute.
I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. That my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed.
The word sound there means 100% sold out to.
That thy hands have made me and fashioned me, that's not just like, you know, oh God made me.
No, that means you are exactly as you're supposed to be.
That's sort of like a clay vessel saying.
Let me ask you something, and this is important. Does anybody here doubt that right at this instant and forevermore that you are exactly as you're supposed to be and you cannot be anything different for the future?
Yeah,
I'm afraid that's true. I'm afraid that's true, but it doesn't give me any joy to think I'm going to be like this forever.
You're going to get worse, Larry.
Yeah,
wait till you're 50, buddy.
Yeah, wait till you're 56.
I kept hoping I would get better, and it's things hadn't changed a bit.
That's one. You said that word meant 100% sold out, and I've got a little thing written in here, blameless, which is like the same thing. It's like you know, you're blameless.
We read 74 there, that they didn't fear. They would be glad when they see me because I
asked, and I asked us to think about it a minute.
She went on
for two seconds. She thought about it for 2 seconds. Judy.
You know, you didn't give me a time limit. I had to guess.
I said, a minute.
Think about it.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Well, when we read that, the prodigal son leaped in my head. I don't know why, but it was just the prodigal son.
My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of my mouth, of thy mouth.
Amen. Lamed.
I was looking here somewhere. I've written down the bottle in the smoke is like
lost.
It's like a wineskin in the wineskin in the smoke, which means totally dried out
and useless.
Yeah, it's like
so in that last verse 88 it says.
quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. It's like even the act of, you know, the quickening, or I mean, it's like everything is him still. You know, it's,
yeah, the quickening is make alive, so it's the resurrection.
Yeah. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction. I'll never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceedingly broad.
Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Do you understand something, Wild? I looked all over the New Testament, and there's not one place where Christ ever told anybody to read the Bible.
Well, I can think of one right off.
Name one.
Where he told the Pharisees to search the Scriptures.
He was speaking rhetorically. He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life.
He wasn't actually telling you.
No, he said, what you do, he said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life, but you fools, they are they that testify only of me, and you won't come unto me. Why? Because he is the Scripture. He is the law, the writing, and the prophets. Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day, all the day.
It seems kind of elementary, but if, in thinking about this thing, thy hands have made me and fashioned me, and knowing that you're perfect exactly the way you are, it's like all the trouble you get into is from hanging back from that, because you stay in a...
Well, you analyze yourself.
Yeah, and you stay in a place of not quite ever doing anything or being out there and...
Yeah, you're in that grand middle. A grand, boring middle.
Guess who you're a hero with now?
Now what happened?
Mensa.
Mensa.
I don't hear about that. Okay.
That makes me think, though. I keep thinking about the relationship of your mind to your heart. You know, it's like this is really just kind of a tool. Stuff passes through. But it's with your heart that where your love is and your desire for God and all that originates.
That's why it says, be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. So that your mind and your heart see as one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that's what discipleship is to make the mind and the heart join.
If you're not willing to let that happen in your mind, it's kicking against your prayers or something.
Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Do you understand? I mean, I don't have to remind you that these are the prayers of Christ, right? Written by the Spirit of Christ in David for Christ as he walked out on the earth, now written for Christ in you. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I love that section. That's a good section. Okay.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I err not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Amen.
I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to thy word, that I might live, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved, and I will have respect unto the statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments.
I have done judgment and justice. Lead me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way.
Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law.
Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet the commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.
This is, by the way, one of the best Scrabble words, but it's not in the dictionary, in the English dictionary. It's not spelled K-O-P-H, it's Q-O-P-H. It's one of the few words that has a Q without a U.
It's
Q-O-P-H. It's the name of a Hebrew letter.
Oh.
And Q-A-I-D, another one that has... I shouldn't be giving away... But I don't play Scrabble anymore.
He's a movie star.
Q-A-I-D. No, Q-A... Q-A-I-D. is a unit of money in Saudi Arabia, a Qaid. And that's because, you know, if you get a Q, you're lost.
It's one of the many reasons I don't play Scrabble with you.
What?
It's one of the many reasons I don't play Scrabble with you.
Why is that?
You just gave three reasons.
Oh, that's a unit of exchange in Saudi Arabia.
XU.
Everybody knows that.
I challenge you.
No, it's not in that dictionary because it's not a good dictionary.
You played Scrabble.
Yes, no, we will play with the Scrabble dictionary. The official Scrabble dictionary. I've challenged you.
It's fine, you win. Here, I'll give you $5 down.
Give you 5 points.
You win.
Okay.
I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried. I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Hear my voice according unto the loving kindness, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment. They draw nigh that follow after mischief, they are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever.
Amen.
Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. Plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgments. Many are my persecutors and mine enemies, do I not depart from my testimonies. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved, because they kept not thy word. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever.
Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I pray to thee because of thy righteousness and judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love thee exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.
Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. It's interesting that so much of what is written here is from a position of great turmoil and need, longing and desire.
Weakness
and reaching out.
As we were reading this last part, I was thinking about last night when we were reading about Daniel in this place. And at the end, the angel touches him and says, at the beginning of your supplication, I was told, become
weak. Let's go to Daniel 10. I want to show you something. We didn't study that in Bananas last night. We just studied Daniel 9 for some reason. How come we didn't study 10?
We didn't get there.
Huh?
We didn't get there.
We didn't feel well.
No, that's not true. I know why we did, because we went directly to Revelation.
Yeah, we went all kinds of
history. Oh, yeah, okay.
A veritable world tour of the scripture.
Oh, yeah, we went to all the Thessalonian guys and wicked fire and the wicked one revealed. The man of perdition. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks.
Oops.
So that's again why they say this is the time of the morning. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eye and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, and his face... His body was also like the beryl, what?
What is beryl?
It's a precious stone. And his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. I am now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Go over to verse 21 of chapter 9. Yea, while I was speaking, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. You understand that? This is why it's so vital that you stop any self-justification. That there can't be weakness if there's self-justification, because you fill the temple with self. Yeah. There has to be this supplication. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth. I beg of you, hear this. Again, repeating 13, or I mean 12. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Uh-oh. But lo, Michael and one of the chief princes came to help me. One of the chiefs. That's not what it says. It's Michael, the chief. It didn't say one of. It says Michael, the chief, the big daddy, the first archangel.
Yeah, the first. That's what this footnote says. Michael, the first of the chief princes.
Came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake, and he and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. And then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace unto thee, and be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I came unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. Then I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince.
Something just really came clear to me about this 21 days. The idea that only that which proceeded from God can return to God, and all the stuff about the day of one's birth and the day of one's death and all the things that happen in between. It's like this 21 days is three cycles of seven, which is seven being linear time. Linear time really being the time you spend in your body. And it's like each time we experience a fast, it makes you abundantly aware that you are a spirit being trapped in flesh, doing time in flesh. That a spirit came into the flesh, passes the allotted time, and then leaves the flesh. And it's this time of affliction in 119. It's this time of the prodigal son. And they all say the same thing.
The time of learning, it's to remain learning. Under. Yeah. Remain under.
The time of testing.
Remain under. Remain under.
But the great thing about it is, it's like we were saying earlier, the thing about midnight, you know, the cross is standing up. It's like going into the night, it gets darker and darker and darker and darker. But then there's this point at which it's over. Even though there's still half the night to go, it's over because it's the way home. It's like, in me, I feel like I'm on the way home, as opposed to from my life before this point was in further and further into the darkness, or further and further away. It's like somehow a point has been crossed where now it's not going into 21 days of fast, it's looking to the end and hastening to the end, and soon the day of one's death being greater than the one's day of one's birth is like, wow, going home.
Well, I just thought we should read this in body together as part of the between the straits. But I want you to remember that Zechariah promises that for us, the fast of the fourth month and a fast of the fifth month are joy. They're turned into joy. You don't have to have an expected response to this time. You don't have to use it as an occasion to justify you being in a bad mood. Don't sweat the small stuff anymore. Don't take yourself seriously forever again. Abandon yourself. Pick up the cross and follow him. Amen?
Amen.
Take a big guy.